subject. Psalm 145, as I announced this morning. Psalm 145, verses 1, 2, and 3. And I'll give you a brief summary of the chapter, and then we'll preach tonight a little bit on a specific topic from this passage here. Psalm 145, and we'll read verses 1, 2, and 3, okay? After that, we'll enjoy a special and jump right into the message this evening. Okay, hope you're comfortable. Hope the air is working okay. And praise God for the air conditioning right now. Amen. Let's stand. All right, we're glad to be here tonight. Thank you, Lord. Here we go. Please join me on verse number 2. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. I like that. I'm not going to preach that verse, but great, greatly, and greatness. All right there, one after the other. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Sure is. Father, truer words can never be spoken, and of course they're your words. And truly you are great, and you're greatly to be praised, and your greatness is unsearchable. So we rejoice in that tonight, to think that we know you as Father, personally, Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the God of all creation, yet we can talk to you as a son would talk to a daddy. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the services today. Thank you for the privilege to sing tonight, fellowship with your people in spirit and truth. May you bless the song now. Make it a good blessing to our hearts and then the message to follow. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
Once I was wandering in darkness of sin.
Change. What a change. He used to never respect the Bible, didn't respect God's day, didn't respect the Lord's house. But I'll tell you what, that all changed. Amen. New life. That was great, ladies. Thank you. Here's my title tonight. We're going to look out of this passage. What has God done for us lately? And I'll explain it. You'll understand the title as we get into the message. What has God done for us lately? So let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord to answer that question for us out of His Word in the Scripture tonight. Father, thank you so much for the new life we found in Jesus the day we got saved. What a difference it made. And I trust I'll never be the same. May I never go away, God, from what you brought me to. May I never go back to what I came out of. So, Lord, please help me. Help everybody here in this room. Lord, many of these folks were saved at an early age. That's wonderful. And then many others saved later in life. Lord, I just pray that you'll keep us on the right track. Help us to honor you and love your word and your house, your day, and to honor you with our lives. Because, Lord, you have done so much for us lately. We don't want to forget that or overlook it. So we thank you tonight for what you've done for us. Help us to see it from the Scripture and bless us in these moments. May our hearts be revived and blessed in Jesus' name. And amen. This particular psalm is known as David's Praise. If we took the time to read all of it, it would make obvious sense to you why it's called David's Praise. Psalm 51 would be known as David's Penitence. That's his prayer of confession and repentance after his sin with Uriah and Bathsheba. Chapter 86 would be David's Prayer, but this one is clearly David's Praise. Now, this is not the only psalm in which David blesses God. And he makes that clear right at the very beginning of this psalm. He says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I'll bless thy name forever and ever. There are other psalms in which he blesses the Lord, but this one is regarded as the crown jewel of his praise when you take the entire psalm. There is much to learn from this model of praise. I will not preach it tonight. It outlines itself in verses 1 through 7. David blesses God for his fame and glory, for God's fame and glory. In verses 8 and 9, David blesses God for God's goodness. In verses 10 through 13, he blesses God, David does, for his kingdom. In verses 14 through 16, he blesses God for God's providence. And then in verses 17 through 21, he ends the chapter of praise, by blessing God for his saving mercy. And all of those things you could preach a half hour on in and of themselves. I want to just take one phrase tonight, and I want to think on it for a few moments. In verse number 2, every day will I bless thee. Every day. Every day will I bless thee. The word bless here in the Scripture means to praise. It means to salute, to thank. So David said, Lord, every day I need to praise you. Every day I need to salute you, and every day I need to thank you. Every day I need to praise you, salute you, and thank you. Now here's the crux of the message tonight. We live in a what have you done for me lately society. That's where we are. It matters not what realm you discuss. Let's take the political realm. Many times, politicians are elected on the basis of what they have done for me lately. And we can all sit here tonight in July of 2010 with midterm elections coming up in just a few months and all hope, you know, that conservatives get voted into office and that thing kind of changes course, and especially in the House of Representatives and maybe even the Senate. But the truth of the matter is, folks, and I'm not a predictor, but a prognosticator, but a lot of it's going to depend on what the economy does between now and November. And if for some reason the economy takes an uptick and everybody's back to work and the jobs are flat, it's going to be hard to vote those guys out of office. Because we live in a what have you done for me lately society. You take the athletic realm, the entertainment realm, which really is what athletics is. Professional athletics is nothing more than entertainment. Phil Jackson, the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, formerly of the Chicago Bulls, wrote that in his book, Sacred Hoops. He said, when I come out after halftime and I see the clowns on the floor and the jumping on the trampolines and throwing the balls up in the air and all the firecrackers going off, he said, I realize that all I'm involved in is an entertainment industry. It's entertainment. And athletes and entertainment, and that when you get to that realm, how quickly an athlete is forgotten or falls into the fans' displeasure. Some stars who have a more public position after they retire from playing ball, they might maintain their celebrity status a little while if they get on television as a reporter or something. But most are forgotten very quickly when they were executing spectacular dunks and when they were carrying the ball and running for 25 to 30 yards a game. And if you weren't here Wednesday night, I got to give a gospel track in the airport on Monday to Greg Olson and Matt Forte up at O'Hare Airport. and give him a gospel tract and talk and showed Greg Olson the picture of the church. And he's, oh, yeah, I've seen that building, and talked to him. And I said, now you guys are going to be in our hometown, and that's another story. But it was, you know, it was enjoyable to give him a gospel tract. You take guys like that who are playing right now, and people applaud them. And when guys are hitting the cover off the ball, you know, when they are providing some measure of entertainment for the fans, they're the toast of the town. But as soon as they start losing a little bit of athletic ability, slowing down a step or two, and start, look, it doesn't even take the length of a 9-inning game sometimes. A guy hits a home run in inning number 2, and everybody, yeah, yeah. He strikes out with the bases loaded in inning number 8, and he's a bum. It happens that fast. And you know that's true. I'm just saying, it's what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately? You talk about the vocational world, even sometimes where some of you work. How have you helped us lately? How have you produced lately? Job security in some careers is based solely on what have you done for me lately. And you might have been a producer 3 or 4 years ago, but your production has fallen off in the last 6 months. And you know what? We're going to be looking for somebody else because it's what have you done for me lately. Now, I'm not making that up. I think that's true. We live in that kind of a society, and we could go on and on about other examples. Now, as Christian people living by principle, we should never carry the "what have you done for me lately" attitude into our love for God, our praise of God. But the truth is, there is so much that God does for us lately. There is so much that He does for us daily that every one of us has every reason to say with David, every day will I bless Thee. Every day will I praise Thee. Every day will I extol Thee. Every day will I salute Thee. Every day will I thank Thee. If we adopted the "what have you done for me lately" attitude toward God, then we would be praising and we would be saluting and we would be thanking every day because God is a do for His people lately kind of God. That's what He is. And we need to recognize that truth. David recognized this truth in another psalm. Don't turn to it. Chapter 68, verse number 19. He said these words, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." How often is that? Daily. Is that lately? That's lately, isn't it? "Who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." So David was saying, on top of our salvation, which, by the way, should be enough to cause us to bless Him every day if everything else is going backwards. The fact that we're saved on our way to heaven, don't have to go to hell forever and ever and ever. It's, on top of that, there are loads of benefits. Loads. I like that word, He loadeth us. Loads of benefits for a child of God daily. What has God done for us lately? Sometimes it's like when you talk to some Christians, it's the attitude of almost frustration, and God hasn't done anything for me lately. I think you're mistaken. I think the Bible shows that God does something for us very lately. I'm going to show you 3 or 4 things tonight. You jot them down. Get the scriptures jotted down because we're going to move right along. Have some announcements about Vacation Bible School and get you home because many of you are coming back the rest of the week, Monday through Thursday. And I appreciate it. I saw that crowd here last Sunday night. I thought, my gracious. Thank God for these people. Number one, what has God done for us lately? God has provided for us lately. He has provided for us lately. Don't turn to it, but in Luke chapter 11, verse number 3, Jesus was asked by His disciples, "Lord, teach us to pray." John also taught His disciples, and so Jesus gave them not the Lord's Prayer. You know that. Jesus gave them a model prayer to follow, and one of the items of prayer in that model prayer was asking for daily bread. "Give us this day our daily bread. God, please give us the portion of provision You have made for us today." Let me ask you a question. Have you eaten today? Have you eaten too much today? Did you eat yesterday? And did you eat on Friday? And have you planned tomorrow's meal? And have you planned the menu for the week in advance? Have you eaten today? Have I eaten today? You know, you say, well, Pastor, my neighbors and unsaved friends at work, well, they've eaten today too. Yeah, but they probably haven't stopped to bless God for His provision. If God's children don't do it, who's going to? It all comes from Him. Just because, you know, 2/3 of the population or 3/4 of the population or whatever it is, or 4/5 of the population that's unsaved and lost and on the way to hell and never recognizes that the great hand of God is the one that provided even their daily food. Goodness gracious, at least the 20% that are saved ought to take some time every day to recognize that God's fed us today. God's fed us today. You know, I was thinking about this. Many in the world have not eaten today. I said, many in the world have not eaten today. Now, I know your grandmother pulls that on you when you're 6 years old. You don't want to eat your spinach. Or you don't want to finish your green beans. There's millions of people in India that are starving. I got so tired of hearing that when I was... I thought, well, send them my green beans. You're starving. But the truth of the matter is, many in the world have not eaten today. Folks, what we have become accustomed to here in the United States and in the modernized world is not the norm in many, many places. You know, I was thinking this week, as I was thinking about this scripture, I was thinking this week, I have never been hungry because of a neglectful parent or because of a bear cupboard. I'm 53 years of age. 53 and a half. I've never been hungry because of a neglectful parent. 53 and a half years. I've never had a bare cupboard. Now, I can remember as a boy sometimes when Dad wasn't making as much money as he made later in life as he moved up the ladder a little bit at General Motors. And when Mom was sick, and I can remember we ate chicken and rice until I thought I was sprouting wings. Honestly, I just thought that. My eyes sweating. And everybody wonders where I squint when I smile. It's because I ate all that rice when I was a little kid, man. I'm telling you, rice and chicken and chicken and rice and chicken and chicken. Ugh. And there were some nights when we had a vegetable meal. I don't know if that's because we didn't have any meat or it's just because we like vegetables. I said, would be a piece of meat on the table. There'd be fresh sliced red tomatoes, and there'd be cucumbers, and there'd be okra, fried okra on the table, and there'd be corn, and there'd be beans, and black-eyed peas, and all that good stuff. And we just eat vegetables, all we'd eat. But we ate. The only time I've ever gone to bed with my stomach growling at me is when I was too tired to eat what was already prepared, or when I was fasting and doing without on purpose. I've never, in 53 and a half years, I've never gone hungry. And I bet you that just about could be repeated person after person after person. Maybe some of you old-timers, up a few more years, 25, 30 years older than some of us, had been through some of those lean times. But I would bet you that the vast majority of folks in this room have never been hungry. Well, somebody ought to say, thank you, God. He's given us our daily bread. 53 years of age, I don't think I've ever had just one pair of shoes. Now, I'm not a woman. I don't have 100 pairs of shoes, amen. And I don't need another one, really. But I've never had just one pair of shoes. I was reading that book I told you about, those special forces groups going in Afghanistan before we knew they were there. And some of those soldiers, some of those American soldiers in the special forces were appalled as they looked at the Afghanistan men, those Northern Alliance men that they were fighting with, and they were wearing tennis shoes or old black dress shoes. In some cases, bedroom slippers. In some cases, their shoes didn't match. You guys have been in the military. I would venture to say that probably the very best of footwear is available for our men in military, especially in areas like Afghanistan, with all those mountainous, those rocky mountains and all the shale and they just cut their shoes to pieces. And the American soldiers would look at those guys, and here they were, you know, making charges and fighting just as hard against the Taliban as the special forces guys were. And they had all the latest, you know, lightweight, rugged, tough boots that would be comfortable for their feet. And here's the guy fighting beside of them in a pair of bedroom slippers. 53 years, I've never had just one pair of shoes. I can't ever remember in 53 years going without proper clothing and having at least something to wear. I have never, in 53 and a half years. What has God done for me lately? I'll tell you what God's done for me lately. He's provided every day of my life. And probably the truth of the matter is, He's done the same thing for you. The same thing for you. God has provided. What has God done for us lately? Number two, God has given us the breath of life lately. He's given us the breath of life lately. Don't turn to this. This is Job chapter 12. Job is talking about his troubles and all that happened to him. And he asked this question. He said, "Who knoweth not in all these, all those difficulties, that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this?" But it's all of God's hand. And then he asked this, or made this statement, "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing," watch it now, "and the breath of all mankind." And that's not an isolated place in the Scripture where it talks about that, because in Daniel chapter 5, you got Belteshazzar and his wild orgy and feast there and all the ridiculing of God's treasures that they brought out of Jerusalem, and now they're desecrating them. And this wild, wild party, and the hand appears and the fingers appear and they're right on the wall, and Belteshazzar's knees knock together and they call for Daniel. And in verse number 23, Daniel says to that old wicked king, "Thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, hast thou not glorified." Now, this is not the first time I've mentioned this in this pulpit. I remember when that dawned on me some years ago in either Bible study or casual Bible reading, that every breath I take comes from the hand of God. How can it be that we get so goofed up in our thinking about living for God, we don't even control the breath we take? We don't even control it. It comes from His hand. Psalm 150 and verse number 6 says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." What has God done for us lately? Well, that last breath that you and I just took came from His hand. I guess He's done something for us lately, huh? That kind of thing ought to just make us bless Him every day. Thank you, God. I want to bless you every day. Every day will I bless thee. You provided. You've given me the breath of life. Number three, what has God given us? What has He done for us lately? Number three, God has given us sleep lately. Amen. Psalm 127 in verse number 2, the psalmist said, "He giveth His beloved sleep." Let me ask you a question. Did you sleep last night? I want to ask how many of you got a nap this afternoon. Amen. I saw a few hands. Yeah, all right. Sunday afternoon naps. Sleep. Did you wake refreshed? Was it good rest last night? Praise God, friend. That was the gift of God. I'll tell you something, friend. The blessing of not having to take four pills to fall asleep and then three more to wake up. The blessing of going to sleep after a hard day's labor without drinking until you pass out. And then waking up clear-headed and refreshed. Huh? Friday afternoon. About this time every year, the neighbors up the road, they have some straw to bale or some hay to bale. This year, their first cutting of alfalfa, they round baled all that hay, and I was glad that they did. Those hay bales are a whole lot heavier than those straw bales. And about once a year, they'll call and say, "Hey, we're baling hay. Can you help us?" And I try to always be available to help them bale hay. They know I can't do it on Sunday. I just can't put that, but I try to be available to help them bale hay. So we got two or three guys from the church here. Dan came. Dan's here. Dan came. Nick came. And Brian Vega came. And we baled hay Friday afternoon from 1 till 7. Baled straw. It was hot. And Dan and I were on the rack. Nick was in the barn. Amen. So Nick and Brian were in the barn. Older boys, full rank. Amen. So I'd much rather be on that rack than in that barn. I'll tell you that much. Much rather. Although it was out in that blistering sun Friday afternoon. for 6 hours, and we were putting that straw up. We never got off the rack. Here came one, here came another. You know how it is. Some of you guys have done that stuff before. Good work. Sweat. Oh, my goodness. Sweat. That's okay. It's when you stop sweating that you get nervous. Sweat. I mean, dress. Sweat. Everything's wet. Everything is wet. And boy, when we got done, oh, glory. And we got to eat something at the house. And I don't know about these boys. I'm sure they're a lot tougher than I am nowadays. But, buddy, I'm telling you, sleep. Good night. I'm just glad it wasn't one of those nights when, can I ask you a question? Oh, help us, not tonight. Thank you. Yes, we wouldn't have made it past the first half question. Amen. Oh, man, I conked out. Boom. I mean, as soon as the head, you've been there, some of you men, you've been there, and you ladies too, you work like crazy, and your head hits the pillow and you're gone, and before you know it, that alarm's going off, and you know what, man, you open your eyes and it's like, wow. You know, I was in Bible college getting that schedule routine up here years ago, great, day in the morning, I mean, just going like crazy, 40-hour job and 16, 18 hours of classes, and then the ministry requirements were just, they were just, you guys have been providence, you've got 5 hours. Oh, my soul, the ministry requirements were unbelievable on the weekend. And, man, you crawl into bed saying they go to work third shift when you should be sleeping. Honest to gracious, man. And then I came to bed sometimes so numb. Huh? Getting the car to drive to the UPS Hammond up there. And Hammond at the UPS, and they had a little pea gravel parking lot. And honestly, folks, from the time that I put that car in drive at the dormitories until the tires hit that gravel and woke me up, I didn't even know how I got there. You've been there, so tired. Just so tired. And sometimes I'd look at my watch and see that I had 3.5 hours to sleep. And I'd say, dear Spirit of God, would you please make this 3.5 hours feel like 7 or 8. Put my head in that pillow, and honestly, when that alarm clock went off, well, not all the time. To be honest, some of the time. I know, where'd that come? You know, according to my Bible, well, that's just how it works. You know where that came from? According to our Bible, that came from Him. He gives His beloved sleep. Did you eat last night? Did you eat this morning? Have you taken a breath in the last 20 seconds? Did you have good rest last night? What has God done for me lately? God just hasn't done anything for me. Whoa, stop. If you're eating and you got provision and you slept good last night and you just took a breath, I think God's doing okay. I think He's doing all right. What has God done for us lately? Let me say this, number four, God has had mercy on us lately. Yes, He has. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. Jeremiah said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new. I like this now. Every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. New every morning. Not leftover. New. They are new every morning. What has God done for me lately? I'll tell you what He's done for me lately. He's had mercy on me. You know what? Every day I do something worthy of God's judgment. Every day, instead of judgment, you know what I get? I get mercy. Every day. Every passing day. The truth is, friend, you know, I was talking to some of you on Wednesday night, child rearing. That's what mercy is. Mercy is not giving what we deserve. That's what mercy is. God has mercy on us. We deserve this, but He doesn't give it to us. And I was talking on Wednesday night about some families, you know, jokingly through the years, having kind of a cantankerous child or going through a cantankerous spell and saying, you know, it's the type of situation where I feel like I just, when they wake up in the morning, I just want to give them a spanking and say, you know what, that's for what you're going to do wrong the rest of the day. Let's just get it out of the way right now. And the truth of the matter is, God could do that with us every day we live, friend. Every day we live. I get so aggravated at myself sometimes. I take matters into my own hands. I go through an issue or something leaning on the power of my flesh or leaning on my own experience and relying on my own knowledge. And sometimes I work through things, and in some way, God help me. In some way, internally, I take a measure of pride in that accomplishment. And then on the other side of that thing, the Holy Ghost begins to deal with me about neglecting God and not seeking God and not acknowledging where the help came from. You ever do that? You ever get through something and, you know, I just kind of feel like, the Spirit of God says, oh, really? And you feel so small. You feel so small. You feel so bad. And I can think to myself, in this one event in my life, God could have jerked a knot in my head 4 or 5 different times. He could have taken me to the woodshed how many times? And instead of giving me what I deserved, He had mercy on me. Instead of judgment, He had mercy. Have you kids ever gotten out of a spanking? It wasn't a resounding yes, but maybe that's good. I recall, and my parents, well, they whooped us, like I said, Wednesday night, usually with a switch. But I can recall those rare blessed times when you got out of it. Am I the only one? Caleb, you ever get out of one? No. Okay. Amen. Anybody here ever get out of a spanking? There we go. Brother Maiden, your hand was up first. You win. Amen. Huh? Oh, my start. I mean, the dread, their dad standing there with his belt or standing there with that switch. And for some reason, I'm just thinking, oh, here it comes. And for some reason, something happens and he says, son, I'm going to let you off this time. And it's like, oh, man. It was like, oh, brother, I mean, the joy of realizing that when judgment was about to be executed, instead I got mercy. And I want to tell you something, friend. I don't know how many times, there are countless numbers of times every day that we live that God could execute judgment on us. But instead, He has mercy on us. We would wear the path out going to the woodshed every day. If you don't feel that way about yourself, I'm just, you're not looking at it right. Amen. I'm sorry. He can wear us out every day. But He has mercy on us. What has He done for you lately? Instead of judgment, we got mercy. And number 5, let me say this. What has God done for us lately? God has loved us lately. In that same passage in Lamentations chapter 3, the Bible says, His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. God loved me today. And just at little points throughout this day, I felt that love. God loved me yesterday, and He loved me last Monday, and the week before that, and the month before that, and He's done the same for you. No person can raise their hand tonight and say, Pastor, hold it, God hasn't loved me. Friend, His compassions fail not. I praise God for the love of my wife. I praise God for that. I have sat in sessions with husbands and wives where one spouse has said to the other, I don't love you anymore. And when I hear that, it breaks my heart. I can't imagine somebody that once told me how much they loved me and I felt showed me how much they loved me, saying to me, I don't love you anymore. I can't imagine it. I think I've referenced this before. There was a missionary who preached in this pulpit, who I became good friends with. He wasn't a missionary when I first met him. He was a pastor who became a missionary to a certain ethnic group of folks. And he spoke in this pulpit. And y'all were blessed. Y'all were blessed. And about a year ago, I was down in Texas, and I was with his pastor. I was preaching in a meeting, and his pastor was there. And he said, Brother Terry, I need to talk to you a minute about one of the fellows y'all support. Said he's messed up, messed his life up. And he said, and I said, well, what kind of chance is there for restitution to put the thing back together? And the
pastor said, well, he said, he told his wife in front of me, he said, I don't love you anymore. He said, I killed her. I don't love you anymore. And I was in Texas last Monday and Tuesday with another staff member from the same church, not the pastor, but another staff member from the same church. And I asked the brother, I said, after the Monday night service, we were having a sandwich, and I asked him, I said, actually having a taco in Texas, if you can imagine, all right? So after the service, I said to him, I said, how's Mrs. So-and-so? He said, it's no better, Brother Terry. No better. He said, I just spent, he was just here for 3 weeks at our church. He said, I spent 8 hours with him because he was like a brother to me. And he said, where are you at? And he said, I don't love her anymore. But I feel like I could. And that's what he told her. He told his wife. He said, I don't love you anymore, but I feel like if you moved back in with me and became a wife, I could probably start loving you again. Can you imagine? Huh? Can you imagine that? I don't love you anymore. I can't imagine hearing that, friend. How that must sting. Now listen, if you've ever had to endure those words from somebody like a spouse or a parent or a child, you know how those things cut. And praise God if you don't know, because nobody's ever been that way with you. But every day, if I listen and if I pay attention, I can hear my God say, son, I love you. Every day. And some days, I'm not very lovely. And He loves us and loves me anyway. What has God done for us lately? Well, He's provided. He's given us the breath of life. He's given us good sleep. He's given us mercy. He's given us love. And that's all I'll take time for. I could preach on for another 3 hours on this subject. What has God done for us lately? Maybe the question better asked is, what have we done for Him lately? What could I do for Him lately? You know what David said he could do? He said, every day. Every day I can thank Him. Every day I can salute Him. Every day I can extol Him. Every day I can worship Him for providing, for breath, for sleep, for mercy, and for love. Because I've got a God who does for me very lately. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Short on purpose tonight. But I hope the Spirit of God would speak to your heart. God hasn't done anything for me lately. Oh, really? No, friend, you know that's not true. That's the voice of frustration. That's the voice of aggravation. That's the voice of stress and pressure. You know God, you know what God's done for you. I'm just a reminder tonight. David said, I will bless Him every day. Every day. Because I don't have a what have you done for me lately, God. I have a God who daily loadeth us, me, with benefits. Would there be anybody in our midst tonight unsaved and not on their way to heaven? Pastor Angel, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died right now. I'd spend eternity in heaven. Anybody like that tonight? All right. Friend, what have you done for God lately? The God in whose hand is every breath you take. Honor Him. Honor His Word. Honor His church, honor His day, bless Him every day. Bless Him every day. Not just on Sunday. But take some time tomorrow to recognize what He's done for you and bless Him. As David said, every day will I bless Thee. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us in our service. Step out tonight and come to the Lord, please. Come as the Lord leads the way.